What's up? What's up, everyone? This is Eddie Picasso, and you are listening to the Secret Side Hustle Hack Show. Now, what you are about to hear is going to blow you away. And if it connects with you at your heart and soul, you are not alone. At this very moment, I am over $250,000 in debt. I've got no job, and I'm barely hanging by a thread. To top it off, I'm only 30 days away from going lights completely out. So, this show is a must follow to follow my next moves as I crawl out of this hole. The question that everyone asks is this: how do real bloggers like us, who didn't cheat or really make money by scamming other people, who have been hustling nonstop, how do we grow our audience and create extra income in a way that lets us get our positive message out to the world and still have a balanced life? That is the elephant in the room, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Eddie Pistachio. Picasso. Hey, I'm Picasso, and welcome to the Secret Side Hustle Hack Show. Hey, what's up, everybody? So, coming to you live from my bedroom home office. It's been about, it's been well over a month since I started the one funnel away challenge from Russell Brunson's ClickFunnels guy, whatever. And actually, the official one funnel away challenge didn't start until the 15th. We actually started, we did kind of like a pre-start week before. I think it was around the 8th. And then now we're full throttle. We're on the second week of the official challenge. But that being said, I actually started my challenge 30 days before that, trying to get things going, get things rolling, and try to get something put together that way by the time that we got to the one funnel away challenge, I could actually have something already tangible, right? And so that's exactly what I did. I actually tried following different strategies based on the 30-day summit book, which let me get that for you. So this is a 30-day summit. 30-day summit from Russell Brunson. That's his new book, released, I guess, about a month and a half ago. And pretty much has got 30 heavy hitters of ClickFunnels, he's got everything from, it's all his heavy hitters, pretty much. They've got, there's a lot of them that have won their own 2 Comma Club Awards. There's some that have won 8-Figure Club Awards, and there's some that have even won multiple awards of both of those. So it's got a pretty amazing cast. And what I did is I read through the whole book. Even they gave out the PDF when it came out, and the book didn't arrive till probably maybe about a month ago or so. Since it got released, the PDF got released, I dug in through all the videos and all the PDFs and all the different strategies. And I pretty much started following different people. I followed Steven Larson, Garrett White, Peng Yoon, who was Dan Henry. I followed a few of them, and I tried implementing a few strategies that made sense out of them. And that's one of my big pitfalls, that I actually kind of start trying to take on a lot of different things, and I end up putting my hand in a lot of different buckets, and I spread myself kind of thin, and pretty much end up being at a standstill. It's quite funny. It's pretty funny because my wife just went back to finish up her college, she's got an associate. She's trying to finish her bachelor's, and so she's going back for business, and so she's studying the different learning types and stuff like that, and she actually had this exercise or this assignment to actually kind of evaluate me in my learning style, right? And so she labeled me as a confluence type or something like that. Pretty much, I'm a go-getter. I like to get things done. I do things. I get things started. But like I already know, I'm a big fire guy. I like to take things on. But then I run out of steam, and I spread myself kind of thin, and I leave a lot of things started and unfinished. And I already knew that, but she put a label to it for me. And so that's kind of what happened with the 30-day summit. And then when it's actually officially started a couple of weeks ago, I honed in on one little thing or one specific thing. And I just pretty much started following the process by Steven Larson and Russell Brunson. So that's what I've been doing as of lately. One thing that did come out pretty good, though, was that during my own challenge, I followed a lot of Steven's stuff, and somewhere in between, I fell off track and I started following Dan Henry. And Dan Henry's stuff completely blew me away. It made so much of a difference because I had learned so much over the last 6 months of since I started ClickFunnels, since I first saw Russell at 10x Growth Con make $3 million in 90 minutes. And so I've learned so much, and I realized that, man, I don't know how I'm trying to get comfortable here, but it's going to be a pretty long session. So I had learned a lot. I'm able now to put together funnels in like, man, 10, 15 minutes. I get them done quick. But of course, that's not what funnels are not. It's not a business. And that's what I learned from Steven Larson, that I was seeing ClickFunnels and funnel building as an actual business when it's not. It all comes down to the sales message, the advertising, and pretty much the value, the offer that you're giving to your customers or to your audience. And that's one of the big things that I learned. But that being said, when I started following Dan Henry, I realized that, man, maybe I can do an agency type of service. And that's what I've been doing since. And I've picked up a lot of clients, a few clients that I've actually been able to get results for. And I'm working with a couple of clients, which has been amazing. It has completely turned things around. I finally see a light at the end of the tunnel, which is super amazing. I'm super grateful for it. But anyway, so what I wanted to talk today about is I have to go back to my Epiphany Bridge story, the Heroes 2 Journeys and my Epiphany Bridge script, or my Epiphany Bridge. Yeah, so on the 30-day challenge, the 30-day summit challenge, Russell Brunson, this week pretty much is all about, and let me show you real quick. I've got it all posted on my wall. But for this week is testing your material Epiphany Bridge and publishing your origin story, right? So that's what we're doing now, and that's what I'm following, the Epiphany Bridge script. And I started, as he was telling his stories, and as Russell was explaining how he goes about bringing up what it's all about, pretty much what the Epiphany Bridge is, and how you come about your origin story, and how it helps build rapport and all that good stuff, right? And so as he was talking, as I was seeing his videos, and he actually had us watch one of his presentations where he actually tells some of his origin story, and I had so many epiphanies, because a lot of things that he was talking about, man, I had gone through, and I could relate to it, and I could remember when I actually went through something similar. And he talks a lot about Tony Robbins, about how Tony Robbins calls it has something that's related to it, like framing and pre-framing and all that good stuff. And so it started making so much sense, because Tony Robbins says that the best way to take people into a frame, and he calls it into a trance, is to tell a story. And when he said that, like, oh my god, that's it. Like, Russ was talking about the exact same thing, right? And so this week's assignment is all about telling my story. I've already told my story, or most of it, during this podcast. And if you haven't seen it, if you haven't heard it, you can go back. It's not very, I've only got maybe about 10 episodes, something like that, which some of them are super amazing, because I've interviewed incredible people. But anyways, so I need to go back and tell my story again. And I want to tell it in a different way, just because there's a lot of things that I left out that I didn't realize. There's a lot of hurdles that I came about, a lot of feelings that came about on my journey that I didn't really document. And I wanted to go about it. So the Epiphany Bridge script is pretty much you're taking people through your backstory, your desires, and external, internal desires, the wall, the epiphany, the plan, conflict, achievement, transformation, right? So I know I went through some of those things when I was telling my story, but it's weird. It's interesting, because at the time when I first started telling my origin story, there was different things. I had a different point of view, and there was some things that weren't clear to me at that time that are much clearer now. And I kind of wanted to talk about it just because of that, because I missed so much. So when I first graduated from high school, 2001, long time ago. It's funny that now I hear a lot of kids are graduating in, I don't know, 2010, 2011, all that good stuff. And it's funny because, man, it seems like it was only yesterday when I graduated. But anyways, when I first graduated, I actually got married pretty soon after I graduated. Man, I became a father not too soon after that. And that's when when the struggle began, right? I ended up having to drop out of college because I ended up dropping out of college after four semesters, I think, after my ex-wife was pregnant with my second son. And man, it was tough at that time. I couldn't stay up late, and I couldn't be studying and working full time. And it took its toll on me. But during that time, I got introduced to real estate investments. And it's funny because when I interviewed Steven Larson, he talked about going through the same phase of doing wholesaling and putting a property under contract, turning around, selling the contract to somebody else, which is pretty much wholesaling. That's what it is. And it's interesting that a lot of people that are in this entrepreneurial or online entrepreneur journey go through pretty much the identical things, man, because I went through the same stuff. I remember fresh out of high school, I was able to flip my first property. I read a book. Got a message from Russell. Anyways, so I read a book on real estate, how to invest in real estate with no money down. I can't remember the exact title. I wish I would have kept that book because it lit a fire in me that was just incredible, and I haven't been able to shut it off since then. And so what happened was that I read that book, and that book pretty much, it gave a very vague description of how to go out, put a property under contract, turn around and sell the contract. And so what I did is at that time, man, 2001, 2002, Facebook wasn't out. I think Napster was a big thing. What was that? MySpace was, I think it still hadn't come out just yet, but there was a lot of forums. The internet was kicking off. It was right after the tech bubble. And so there was a lot of forums, and that's what I did. I went onto the forums and I started posting I buy houses type of ads, right? Free ads or free, just pretty much spamming all the forums. That's what I was doing now that I think about it. And so what happened was a gentleman from Oregon reached out, and he had a lady. An older lady right here in South Texas, where I'm from, we actually have what we call winter Texans. And it's pretty much people from up north all the way up to Canada that migrate. Pretty much that's what they're doing. They're migrating from up north down south to where the heat is during the winters. And that's to avoid the cold, kind of like a bird migration type of deal. But it's older folks that don't want to be around the severe cold weather. And you might guess why, all the health reasons and all that good stuff. But anyways, so lady had lost her, she had lost her husband not too long before. She went to this gentleman and sold him the property that they had down here in South Texas. The gentleman saw one of my ads. He reached out to me. And of course, I took the bait, right? I'm like, man, I'll put it under contract and I'll turn around and sell it. So I did. I put it under contract. I started advertising the crap out of it. I put some ads in the newspaper. I can't remember if Craigslist was out at that time, but I did as much as I could. And I put a for sale sign outside of the property with their permission. And out of that came out a lot of calls. One of them, one of which, called from a gentleman. Checking to see what I was doing, local real estate investor, checking to see what I was doing and what it was all about. And so I told him my story, and he ended up turning into my first mentor, really. He's who I call my first actual mentor, and took me a little bit under his wing to flip houses. So I was pretty much, he was teaching me how to do it. I was pretty much doing all the legwork, and we would split the cost. He would show me what to do, and we would split the profits 50-50. Didn't get many deals done, but I did get some experience. Anyways, so that property, he helped me out a little bit on how to close it. I ended up finding some buyers who were cash buyers. Nice, humble family that was going to live in the property. They had just gotten their tax returns, and they were, it was where I live, the house values aren't very high in that specific area. I mean, it was probably less than a $20,000 house. So they needed some work, all that good stuff. Ended up closing it, made $1,200 at 18. Within 30 days, man. So you can imagine the feeling, fresh out of high school. I wouldn't say I had a college education just because I was still in college. I was probably just barely taking my basics. And, so a kid fresh at 18, $1,200 in 30 days. You can imagine how much of an impact that made, right? And so I started helping, after that, I tagged along with, my mentor, and, we were able to flip maybe another property, I think it was, before I like to say that I was young and dumb. I fell into bad things, which was one of the things, reasons for my divorce, that and among other things. And so I fell out of touch, and I lost all my contacts. I lost touch with my mentor. I went on my way on my own, and it was a struggle ever since. I ended up getting divorced. Got remarried with my lovely current wife, and spent 13 years working in the oil and gas industry. And I want to say that it was beneficial. I definitely made a good living out there. I provided for my family. I gave them everything that they have or that they needed. But I wasn't happy. There was a fire in me that couldn't be extinguished, and I wanted to get back to investing in real estate. And so I had that desire for a long time, over 10 years. And then what happened? So I'm falling a little off script. So let me go back real quick. So that's pretty much my backstory, right? And that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to invest in real estate, right? And but really what I really wanted to do was I wanted to be successful. I didn't want to work for nobody. I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to make my own hours, make as much money as I could, and pretty much build something that I was proud of, right? And so that became my dream. 13 years later, 2016 was actually less than 13 years, but in 2016, after President Trump won the election, my kid came home from school crying, talking about student aids. We're crying in front of them because a lot of them were going to be deported. Well, I live in a highly Hispanic community, and a lot of people were afraid that they were going to get sent back. And so I got a little peeved, right? And I actually went to school and I talked to them. I didn't want them teaching my son that in the face of adversity, that all they could do was just roll over and take what life threw at them. So what started as a lesson to my son turned into a lesson for me. I soon left the oil and gas industry after that. And I thought that I would teach my son a lesson by showing him that if they wanted something, if he or his brothers wanted something in life, that they would have to work for it. And following that advice, my own advice, I decided, you know what, I'm going to start my real estate investment company, which is what I really wanted to do. I wanted to follow my dreams. I took a huge loan. I took a bunch of credit cards out, and I got in debt. I followed what all the gurus say, use other people's money. And so I did. And I racked up all that debt, and I racked up all my credit cards, and fell into big ass hole, man. Not what I expected. Definitely not what I expected. So in the midst of all that, not only did I invest in the business while I was when I got in debt, I also invested in my personal growth, and I ended up coming across Tony Robbins, and I saw Tony Robbins, and he lit another fire, bigger flame in me, telling me that what I had to do is I had to go out in the world and be an agent of change. I had to bring upon good change to the people and be an agent of change, be a gladiator. And so I drank the Kool-Aid, and I left from Business Mastery thinking that convinced that I was going to change the world. And so I did. And I went on this long journey, long discovery journey. It was a 1 year long, call it a year of enlightenment. I heard Tony say the most successful people, the most successful people attend 6 live events a year and read about 60 books a year. So when I heard him say that, I was like, you know what, that's what I've got to do. So I ended up, I was convinced that's what I had to do. And so on that long journey, 1 year long journey, I ended up learning from the greats like John Maxwell, Dave Ramsey, Grant Cardone. I got to see Russell Brunson make $3 million in 90 minutes, and that completely got me hooked. And so all this time I was convinced that I had to build myself personally, grow myself before I could contribute onto others. So I went on this big personal growth journey, and which was great. It was amazing. I met so many wonderful people. I have so many wonderful stories to tell about that. If you don't believe in the power of magnetism, the power of the law of attraction, and manifesting your thoughts, then you definitely have to go back to some of these podcast sessions and listen to some of those, because some amazing things happened during that during the past year, which actually the 1 year that timeline was up on September this year. So it was super amazing. But that being said, I was so focused on building myself personally that I completely negated, is that the right word, negated? Neglected the business side of things and the revenue side and the marketing. And everybody talks about marketing. Everybody talks about sales. I mean, I saw Grant Cardone. I followed Grant Cardone. I went to 10X Bootcamp. And so I knew what it was all about. But then the more I started digging into marketing and selling, and I started realizing, like, man, that's, I've been focused so much on my personal growth that I haven't really been, although I was trying to build my marketing and sales skills, I wasn't really going all in on it. I was going more all in into my personal development, my coaching skills and stuff like that, that I completely neglected. I didn't take it. I took it for granted is what I'm trying to say. I took the marketing, the selling for granted. And then so when I started listening to Stephen Larson over the summer, he's big on that. He's big on offers. He's big on marketing. He's big on selling. And if you haven't joined his Facebook group, The Science of Selling Online, you've got to join his group. That guy is amazing. He gives so much value. He gives so much value, more value than I've ever seen from any other person. Most people that give you that amount of value, that amount of detail, that angle and position of selling and marketing, usually do it on a paid course. And this guy, he's just super amazing. Gives a lot of this information for free. I'm super grateful for him because I actually got to interview him. I actually got to hear some of his stories personally. And needless to say, I realized that really all the stories that he tells is that, and everybody does this, they tell the same exact same stories over and over again, and they see which stories most resonate with people, and that's what they use. He used a lot of the same anecdotes in our interview, which I'm super grateful for, because I got to see firsthand how I was able to ask him questions, and he was able to use these stories and being able to use them within the interview. So it was very it was enlightening. It was very informative. I really appreciate him taking the time to do that. And so when I realized that the marketing was the thing that I needed to do, I started digging all in, man. And look at this. I ain't lying. Tested methods, tested advertising methods, how to read a good advertisement. And there's about 4 or 5 books I just ordered. Man, these books are like 70, 80 years old, but they have so much value, so much knowledge. And so that's what I started doing. I started following Stephen a lot more, a lot closer, and Russell a lot closer. And it was like, man, that's what I have been missing this whole time, is I've been building myself, but I haven't been marketing myself. I haven't been building the skill on how to actually sell what I've been learning. And so that's what my focus has been for the past month and a half or so, maybe 2 months probably. And shortly before that actually happened, so many things that have been happening ever since over the past 2 months. So I lost my job. when I lost my job, I got sued by my ex-wife that she wanted more child support. After that, what else happened? I started falling behind on my bills. Started racking up more debt. During the past 6 months, I've tried different little ventures, try to get something going. One of them was I used to drive a Jeep. And so I started a brand name Jeep Fit. So I applied for a trademark. And a few weeks ago, I got a cease and desist order from Jeep telling me to stop using their Jeep brand. So I had to stop that. What I'm trying to say is, like, the more I try to push forward and the more that I try to adapt and overcome, it's like the more life was trying to keep me down and keep me back. And so many things happen. It's interesting that I saw Ryan Stuman, the hardcore closer, talk a couple of weeks ago, about a month or so ago, probably less than that. And he talks about the law of averages, how you try to get ahead, you try to make more, you try to do more, and then life just keeps jabbing and keeps bringing you back. And it's at those times, those are the most important times that you actually got to step up, step out, and do more and be more. And those are the times that build you, that build your character, build your strength. And those are the times that are crucial to whether you're going to give up and fail or you're going to keep pushing forward and overcome. And so I used to see things really different. And it's only been about a month ago or so that I kept seeing all this happening. I lose my job. I get sued by Jeep. I fall behind on my bills. I had to trade in my Jeep. I couldn't afford it anymore. I had to downsize. My lights, when they disconnected my power one time, because I had fallen behind. Oh, man, so many things that happened. What else? Somebody crashed into me. Somebody rear-ended me. I wasn't even driving my vehicle. And somebody rear-ended me. That was super, super challenging. I had to go through my, that's still being fought by the attorneys. I don't know if I can talk about that. Maybe I'm messing up. But anyways, I'm just trying to point out, like, so many things happen. Life just tries to bring you down. And it's at those small, crucial times that you just got to, what's that book called? You may very, very well be 3 feet away from gold. And that's kind of what it seemed to be like for me, because a little less than a month ago, I changed, my business model. And that made a world of a difference. So now I'm not fully there, but things are slowly but surely turning around. And I'm super grateful for it, super grateful for the experience. As a matter of fact, I've been reading one of these ad books, and it talks about being able to relate to your audience, being able to feel what they feel, being able to think what they think. And I don't think there's any other way to do that than to actually experience that. And now I'm super humbled that I've been able to go through all these hardships and all these challenges, and I'm able to adapt and overcome all that. And I'm super grateful for it now. I'm much more appreciative of that, and much more grateful. It's been an amazing ride. I'm not quite out of the trenches yet, but it's been a fun ride, and it's been super fun. I've learned so much, and so much more that I've got to talk about. What's going to happen moving forward is what you've just seen, what I've just talked about, is my epiphany story, my origin story. As you can see, I stumble a lot. There's a lot of moving parts. There's not a lot of things that I don't have quite right. I don't have down quite right. But that's what I'm going to be working towards moving forward. So this is not the last time you're going to see this origin story being talked about. I'm actually going to be talking about it just about every day until I get it right. So you want to tune in. You want to keep in touch. You want to keep focusing, or you want to keep tuning into this podcast, because I want you to see, and I want to see myself, how I evolve, how this story evolves, and what's going to be the actual final story. It's always going to be improving. But I want to start keeping track of the actual changes. So at least for the next month, you're probably going to be hearing this origin story over and over again. So don't get bored. As a matter of fact, keep coming back so you can see what I've changed. and reach out. Let me know what actually is making a difference, what resonates with you, what touches close to home and heart. And that way I can know what to talk about, man. I would really appreciate that. That'd be some great feedback for me. So thanks for tuning in. I love you guys. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening. Please subscribe and leave your feedback. Do you want to collaborate and mastermind with other side hustlers just like you and toss ideas around? If so, join the Totally Secret Side Hustle Hackers Facebook group.